It's, I have 6:30. We have the full committee here, and we have for on youth and governance, John Center. So we're ready to go. That's our roll call. We have minutes from two previous meetings, three, June 3rd, 6th, and the 18th, which was the special meeting before the county board meeting. Everyone's received those, had a chance to look at them. Do you have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve. Second.
Motion by Supervisor Skolinski with Supervisor Dodge, seconded.
Can I amend that and move to approve all three?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping you were doing.
Okay.
Any discussion? Not all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Approved. Youth and governance approved. We'll move on. Chairman, committee members, supervisors, youth and governance comments. You know, once a year, and it's probably not often enough, because I find this much more nicer room to have a meeting in, and it's only 7 minutes down the road, but we meet here once a year. And a lot of it is to show people that will come to the meetings, you know, what we have. We have the nature center here that's run, and we're going to have a little discussion with those folks further on down the agenda. But, you know, a little county park here that's removed from the main roads, a lot of people do use it, just as, you know, some of the more popular county parks. But the programs that we've run here now, especially with the new naturalist and the board that operates this park for us, basically, have become very successful. And so we want committee members to also see this so they know. A lot of times I've had a meeting out here and people have never been here. You know, didn't know where it was, how to get here. So I think it's really important that we do this, and it gets people to get their families out here. And look at how beautiful it is tonight out here. I mean, it's an amazing setting and a beautiful building to hold a meeting. So we are going to hear from the Pringle folks here a little bit down the agenda. So that's all I have. Any committee members this evening? Youth and governance, anything? We'll move on to citizens' comments. Citizens' comments would be open to any subject that would have to do with facilities, golf, highways, parks, and you would have 5 minutes to speak on any subject you would like. So anyone? I don't think so. I don't see anyone here. So citizens' comments are closed. We'll move on to old business and facilities. Be our first. And Frank, are you going to do that?
Mr. Chairman, yes. 663 Tower replacement. I just spoke with DNR Jim Ritchie. They got an update. Now they're shooting for approval the last week of July. Again, we've done everything we can. It's going through the gears and grinding. And again, he knows from all the discussion with Ray and myself, it's imperative we get going.
Right. So that approval would be to do with the federal government, then?
Yes.
Okay. If everyone remembers, some of the land that we're going to be doing a swap with for this tower was initially purchased with some federal money, so the city of Kenosha has to get approval before we can use that land for anything else. And approval is imminent, but it's just taking us a long time.
Correct. Jim said he foresees no issues. They gave the verbal approval to the city, but the city didn't want to move until they actually gave the permit.
Right. That's how they pay their rent, too, so we know. So we know.
That's it. Park and Ride, we're not going to make it tonight, but that's open and seems to be working. I guess there's a few kinks, but they're working in our down there.
Right.
KCDC HVAC controls. We had, unfortunately, the HVAC technician that the county hired, especially because it's in a detention facility, with all of the checks, and background checks, and tool checks, and everything, it made it very advantageous to have. he put in his notice and designed took a different job for somebody else. So the system's working just like it has. It's not the most efficient, but just like it has the last 10 years, it will keep people cool. We have to go into another hiring process and hope that it can be done soon.
And if everyone remembers, that's a new position that we just established. So that's a shame.
Yeah, he was here probably about a month. Yeah. UL House, I know it's still progressing, but it has not been listed yet. But I hear it's going through the process, so it's still.
And from what I was told is because the purchasing director was ill for period of time?
She did have an operation, so that it was back, but I know she's back now.
Okay. Yes, Kay?
Did anybody respond? Any of the realtors respond to that?
I know we did get responses. In fact, we were calling them before it was even out.
It is my understanding that some realtors were called, they're almost begged to put in a bid.
Proposal.
Yeah. So they've been calling some realtors to say just bring a proposal. If there's so many proposals, I mean, let's take them
I think it might go back to where she had the operation.
She has been back for a while. And why are they calling realtors to go ahead and put in a proposal, to bring in a proposal? As of last week, I was told that a realtor was called.
One particular
realtor? That I told you. Oh. Somebody asked me about it.
I can find out more about it when we bring it back to the committee.
Okay.
The administration KCAP critical facade roof survey. We did do a survey, but actually, couldn't make it in the last month's meeting because I had to run down and extend the conditional use permit for the tower. So that was another thing. But as far as that survey, because as we found out, the city was going to be redoing 56th Street and taking up all the sidewalk on 56th Street and 10th Street, that was the perfect time because we're getting quite a bit of water into the basement of the admin building, register deeds, documents. If we don't do it now, it's just going to get worse and be more expensive, and that was going to save us probably 20%. So we've done all the engineering for that. We had big walkthroughs for that, and we expect the bids back the second week in July. So we're very, we think we've got a really solid plan to mediate that and fix that once and for all.
But Frank, when is the city starting the tear-up?
The city is starting theirs on July 24th.
Okay.
And that's going to be the first we've been coordinating. And really, I have to say that the engineers at the city, James Schultz, have been excellent to work with. And he attended our pre-bid walkthrough with the contractors, answer questions, and we'll be attending their walkthrough.
Great.
When they do the city project.
And that's what you have. Any questions for Frank? No, thank you very much, Frank. Highways are next. Parking regulations on County Trunk KD.
This section of Highway KD is located adjacent to the county park out in the town of Wheatland and Randall. It's basically a road that runs between the county park and the New Munster wildlife area, which is owned by the state. I got a call from the town chairman from the town of Wheatland, Bill Glenbachy, expressing his concern of his fire chief and constable who have begun to see an increase in the amount of vehicles that are parking along Highway KD and then entering the KD park, and that presumably to go fishing, although they could be hiking, whatever activity they're doing. But they, there is parking in, within the park area. They just need to go through the access to the park and park in the appropriate parking lots in the park rather than along the road. The town was very concerned from a traffic safety standpoint, both because there's pedestrians walking along the highway and also because vehicles pulling in and out of there, if you're familiar with it, it's a bit hilly and the cars pulling on and off of the road are pretty much unexpected by anybody that would be driving on the road. So, the town has requested that the county install no parking signs along Highway KD to prevent people from parking there, and hopefully they would just park inside the park at the designated parking lot. I did discuss this with John Rudy, and he agreed that there is getting to be a bit of a problem with people parking along the road. So, what this ordinance would do would allow us to install no parking signs on Highway KD along adjacent to the county park. And this is pretty common. I think just about every county park we have has no parking signs adjacent to it for the exact same reason. So I guess as the KD park becomes more popular, it's just kind of one of those things that we have to grow into. So the I would recommend that we go ahead and proceed with installing those no parking signs.
Gary, how long has that? I probably know, but I mean it's as long as I remember that there's no parking ever that I've seen along KD until you reach the wide shouldered area up by the Beaver Dam area.
Right.
Never seen a soul park along that because you've got the DNR Wildlife Refuge. They've got two parking lots. Shoulder's too narrow, drops off a cliff. So as you get to the area they're talking about or what they're worried about, there's been it's 40 some feet wide in a couple spots. It's at least 30 that whole run. Not a dangerous spot to park. Possibly a dangerous spot. I know they mentioned U-turns. It would be dangerous. I've parked there numerous times. And that's been there. That has been there for 30 years. So what they're asking us to do is to, and deer hunters use it, trappers use it, everybody uses it that goes in the wildlife area too. They're asking us to then somehow fence that off. Make it a revenue source for their customer. I'm not going to argue against this, but I think this is much ado over nothing. There hasn't been one accident since we've had that land. There hasn't been one accident there that I ever remember. Because before we had that land, so I know that usually we look at warrants on before we make a decision like this. So, I mean, is it your true, and John, your true feeling that this is a danger? I mean, I know it is. You have to just be careful pulling out of there because there's a hill. But do we take something away from people? Sure, you can park in our parking lot that's a half a mile away and walk up to where they all want to fish by that dam. But have we had a problem?
I have to take the town and the town constable and the fire chief at their word. I mean, they know that area a lot better than I do. There isn't specific criteria that we use for no parking other than exactly what I was given, and that is, you know, a request by one of the local municipalities.
Right.
So I'm basing this solely on what the town is telling me. I'm not, they're way more familiar with this area than I am. I know it from during the day when we maintain it, but what happens, you know, 24/7, I have to take it for the word, and that's as much as justification as I can give it.
Well, here's what I'm going to ask the committee. The constable's new, been on a job for a month. Fire chief, don't know what he does for a living, but, you know, he's the fire chief. We have no accidents, we have no problems there. So what I would like to see the committee do would be to ask the town to sit down and give us their justification for this before we actually ruin a really good thing. Supervisor Kleski?
Just quick, because you're familiar with that. I've got in my mind where the dam is.
Right.
Is the shoulder just wider, or is there actually kind of a little bit of a gravel pull-off?
There's a big gravel. Not just a tiny gravel.
I haven't driven past it, but...
You could park two semis wide and some.
Might, because I agree. You mean, you know, I certainly fish, and you got 100 yards versus a half mile. So, might it be better that maybe we get some warning signs, you know, at Crested Beach Hill or something that... advising that there is parking or cars parked along the side as opposed to no parking, and all, or maybe just investigate this a little bit more, because I'm not necessarily comfortable, because you've certainly highlighted some things than just, okay, let's put up signs and take, you know.
Yeah, and usually I would agree, and Gary does have to,
absolutely.
And he does take into consideration what the municipalities have asked for.
Yep.
All I'm saying is I don't think these people from the municipality possibly have that much knowledge of it. Like I said, the constable's new. He's a monk. The fire chief, I don't know why he's involved. The town chairman, sure. I know the town chairman. But I know a lot about how that operates, and I also know I've never heard of an accident. You know, so I think if we would have them clarify what they're... I mean, their concerns are printed here,
mm-hmm.
but possibly those concerns aren't warranted.
Or maybe some other alternatives, that, you know, not just no parking, maybe there's some warning signs, and then if there is an accident, we can always revisit it. I mean, right now, we just have nothing to go off.
Oh, believe me, if you had an accident there, it would be horrible. Because
okay.
It's blinded, and you're coming over a hill, but the speed limit is 45, and you also, when you're pulling out of there, unless you're brand new at this or blind, you have a long run and a long look to see what you're doing. It's not like a car can, you know, come and just clip you. So when I read this, I had some concerns with it, because I think it's worth us looking into deeper. And if the town of Wheatland wants to talk to the committee, I would much prefer that. Supervisor Dodson?
Yeah, I agree with Chairman Elverman. I've been out there, and I would like to see in a long-range plan to establish some kind of parking by the dam. In worst-case scenario, I mean, if we've got any handicapped people that want to fish by that dam, they can't make that trail up to the dam. We should have at least, at worst case, handicapped parking. I can't support no parking without justification either. Right? I've been there. I've seen the parking we've got there, and. Without something to really justify why it really needs to be done, I'm not going to support it.
Supervisor Noble?
Do they specifically are asking for no parking at that dam area where everybody seems to think there's plenty of place room to park?
But that is specifically where they wanted the no parking.
But they wanted the whole run of it.
Yeah, the whole thing, but they specifically were concerned
about that.
I talked to the chairman on the phone, and he, when I talked to him, he specifically said that area by the dam there where the pull
right.
is.
So that would be the only spot you could park.
Right.
Without falling into the wildlife area.
Yeah.
The rest is a cliff.
Yeah.
I'll move to table until next meeting.
Could the motion state that we give an invitation to the Wheatland constable, fire chief, and town chairman to attend?
Yeah, well, that was the purpose of the table, but
yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Kleski. Any discussion?
This question, I want to see if I understand this. So we're talking paving, we're talking by the dam at the outlet of the lake.
Yes.
Okay. We're talking about the east side of the road where it's kind of a wide gravel turnout that abuts New Munster
Marsh.
Correct. Right. That's about the only stretch along it that seems to be conducive to being able to pull up. So the town is asking for posting of no parking on both sides of the road, is what you're asking, with specific reference to this area?
Yeah, they specifically wanted the that area where the people tend to pull over the most. But I mean, with my experience with putting up no parking signs, is if you put them up here, then they're going to park here. I mean, even though, you know, I don't want to force someone to go, you know, 100 feet down the road and leave half their car on the road and half on the shoulder because they, you know, they don't want to get a ticket in the no parking zone. So rather than that, you know, you have to lengthen it out to an extent where people will just give up and go park in the, in a different parking.
Well, I tend to agree with the representations of this committee. That's a nice big wide area. It's right at the bottom of the dip, so basically you can see up the hill this way, you can see up the hill that way. It's not like you're really surprised by it. Did it, the entrance down there, is there a trail that goes down from that area down into?
Well, the trail that goes around the whole park is right there, yeah.
No, I don't mean on our side, I mean on their side.
The DNR side? They don't really have trails. The DNR has mowed areas for turkey strutting and you know, they have areas where they plant crops and things. But before we owned that land, that was a much-used parking area because it's at the further north end of that New Munster Marsh where guys go in and set deer stands and things and so. I mean, it's always been where people read their newspaper in the morning. It's not like this is brand new.
Quick question.
Right, Leslie.
You think and you may not be able to answer, is it feasible to expand a little bit of that shoulder, or is it already wide enough here?
Well, because of the way it's so steep, and the slopes are very steep on both sides of the road, actually. So it would be a huge undertaking.
Okay, what's there is there. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
So we have a motion to table and to offer an invitation to the Whelan Town Board, Constable, Fire Chief to attend a meeting and offer discussion. All in favor of that motion?
Aye.
Opposed? To the governor?
Aye.
That's where we'll head. Thanks, Gary.
Okay. So you want me to invite them then to the next meeting?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I have a question for your security department.
He's not departing.
Okay. Go ahead.
Go ahead and finish up here.
Just handing out, I think a couple meetings ago, we discussed briefly the resurfacing program for Kenosha County for 2013. And this is the plan that was developed by our pavement management system. It's not all the roads that are in need of paving, but in a prioritized system. This is the list. We have started on the resurfacing. We've completed two of the projects so far. The schedule is, well, it's already a little messed up. It's so weather dependent that was our attempt at a schedule, but it's already been revised. So. But total of 12.5 miles of paving. Our target's 13. What usually happens is we try to when we do estimates for our material. We estimate a little bit high. We hope that bottom line is we can get another half a mile out of this and get up to 13 miles. So that's our program for this year. Other things we've got our. Was there any questions about this?
So Gary, you have a schedule going down, but then, like I said, the last couple. Now that's just going to be at the end of the season.
Correct.
Yes. No, those were, these we are working on. This one we did.
Oh, the one, the Highway Z East and West Main Street is completed, and Highway B The first one is completed. So we kind of got to skip around.
But we're doing Z from P to O.
We are.
This year.
This year, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that one's getting, that one will be done this year for sure. Yeah, it wasn't on the schedule, but it'll get fit in there.
So I have a doctor's appointment Wednesday, and they're going to ask me.
We better get out there sooner than later. Yeah, it's in terrible condition.
Any questions for me on the paving program?
When you talk about, you know, maybe getting an extra half mile, would you pick just one of these routes and just say, let's extend it? Or is it kind of a case by case? I was just curious.
No, these are pretty well set, but we can, we'll pick up another half mile that is in need. And it could be okay. As much as a mile. So far, I know on the first two projects we've done, we've come under quantity considerably, so we're off to a pretty good start. It's very difficult to estimate the amount of material you use on these projects because all the conditions of the road vary so much. So, but they do track their quantities and costs very closely on these projects. Otherwise, we got our pavement marking contractors out working, so we're pretty much in full swing for summer. The 30th Avenue Highway G project is completely paved now. The contractor's been really good about working between all the rainstorms and showers we've gotten, so that project's going well. And like I said, we're pretty much in full summer mode of getting things done.
Thank you, Gary. Do you have a question for Gary?
Not related to paving. Kind of a question about paving. You should address it. But just my comments, I came out Highway C at MD. I noticed the roundabout, the center of that roundabout appears to me was just weeds. Is it weeds or is it actually substantially above grade in the center of that roundabout?
It's a little bit above grade. We had some problems with our landscaping. It was finished so late last year that we didn't get a lot of seed growth on it. And then this spring we had a fairly large flood there and pretty much ruined the entire landscaping there. So the contractor's coming back to work on it, and we do have a specific landscape plan that for the center of the roundabout that we're going to be doing. Nothing with elaborate bushes or trees or anything, just kind of a natural type, low maintenance.
But it is designed to be above grade a certain...
It does, yes.
The reason I ask is westbound seems to be, at least just from what I observed this evening, the biggest issue. Because you can't see the eastbound traffic entering that circle as easy as you'd like with the vegetation that's going on.
Right.
As you're headed eastbound, you can see the westbound traffic somehow easier just due to where the pole configuration is.
That's all going to be removed.
My question, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Doug?
I thought you're not supposed to be able to see the traffic coming on and around about. I mean, I know that the park side, people complain there, and the reason they put a berm in the center of the roundabout is they don't want you, maybe it's a higher speed one, it's different, but they don't want you to see the traffic until it's coming around.
What was
given as a reason for the berm in the middle.
Well, I mean, the berm in the middle, most useful aspect is it prevents people from just going and driving right through it, which we do get, and because it's mounded there now, the kids seem to have some fun with it occasionally. But as far as seeing vehicles, I think it's always good to be able to see where the vehicles are maneuvering around.
Rick?
Yes, Gary, we at the county, I should say, didn't we purchase some property to straighten out some turns on Highway F? And when is that going to be planned to be done? Next year or
It's on Highway W.
Oh, W.
We did purchase some property, and that is a federally funded project that we are currently soliciting for engineering services for that project.
It'll be a couple of years.
It's going to be.
W.
Okay.
Couple of years.
Okay, Gary, thank you very much. We'll move on to parks.
The first thing is the Katy Master Plan. I don't have a lot on that, but we did meet with JGR and retain them. They're the ones that did the master plan for Katy Park. We also retain them now to do the master plan for the expansion. We took a walk with them after the meeting and pretty much walked the whole property. They went back out after we finished that. But I know just on the hike we went on with them, there's one spot now that we own that one of them had identified before that's a remnant of a dry prairie. And they identified that and they said that's a great site over in the northeast corner by the native vegetation that was there. And then the other thing too is they looked at a lot of the wooded sites for woodland restoration. And the rest of it, I guess, will, you know, we had some suggestions, but of course they'll probably know better than us what to do with that land in the future, so we'll leave it up to them to see what they bring back to us here as a recommendation, and it will include bringing that to this committee and presenting it. And we can probably have some input along the way too if we see it go in a direction that maybe we don't feel we want to see it go. We can maybe have some say in that. And that's about all I have for their for the master plan.
Okay.
And then I'd like to introduce Barry Thomas from the Pringle Nature Center to address us and just talk with the committee.
Yes.
A little bit about the Pringle Nature Center activities.
Good evening and welcome. Always glad to host you for a meeting out here. I find this a very peaceful place to look out at the trees and things, and it's kind of a relaxing place for meetings, so I hope you enjoy being here. It does give us a chance to tell you about some of the things that we do out here. We'd like to introduce one other board member here tonight, who's Kate Whitehall, and he is a volunteer coordinator. So I don't know if you're aware, we are open on Sundays out here. Kate's responsible for lining up the volunteers, so if we can't do that, we open for people that are out there in the Sunday holidays as well. You probably have read a lot of Kenosha news and very expensive Ashland reports that Dollar Man or Ashland gives. So there's a lot of stuff going on out here, and she's really the one that's responsible for it, so I'm going to ask her to highlight some of the things that have been going on with us.
Thank you guys for coming out today. This is just a copy of what we've been doing. It's just a summary of pretty much all the reports we sent. We're getting more volunteers coming out helping us. Our first invasive species work day of the year. We got a lot of people to come out to help us, and we really take a walk out back afterwards, you'll see how much we were able to get cleared out. We also received a grant from the Wisconsin Environmental Education Board to help. We're going to create an adult program and more or less help the park too to restore it back to Oak Savannah. And we're going to do woodlot management, and we brought the goats out. We're going to bring the goats out again to help eat away at the invasives. We're getting somebody from UW Stevens Point, as well as a local professor, to come out for this program. And we're working on other grants to help with this program as well. We're celebrating our 15 years being open this year. So we've been looking up history, and I need to talk to John yet about going and taking a look at all the papers that are around as to the history of the building, because at our Fall Fun Fest, we'd like to talk about the history and do a little presentation. So you just be kind of be like, yay, we've been open for a while. We're also getting more school groups out as well. I was afraid with what happened last May, school year May, really had three school groups, but then when the fall started up again, we had more school groups than we normally do in the month of October. We actually had some winter groups who came out and did snowshoeing with us. And then we had a lot more schools again in the springtime. We took out a lot of Friends of Pringle memberships because one of the benefits is people get free snowshoe rentals with having a membership. So we were able to get more of those out. And more people were out enjoying the woods in the wintertime because you do get a lot of people like, oh, are you open year-round? Yep, we're open year-round. And then we've had quite a few Eagle Scout projects here as well. You may have noticed we've got some new benches out by the campfire circle. We had another Eagle Scout redo the trail markers because we get a lot of people in here who like, okay, which way did I turn? So on the trails, there's the color of the trail and the arrow with what direction it goes. And then we also have some teaching platforms because a lot of our programs don't really go into the woods. By having an outdoor teaching space, it gets the kids into the woods. And we've had a few more other Eagle Scout projects that are in the process of going through John and being kind of thought up of. Other than that, we're really getting the word out, and we're getting a lot more people out. So are there any questions for me?
Mark. How many goats? And where do they come from?
I think she brought about 50 to 60 goats, and they're called green goats. She has one farm here in the county, and then she's got her business expanded, and so she's got another farm out near Madison as well.
So you just kind of let them know, or you got to keep them fenced in?
Yeah, we've got
an
electric fence. Okay. That so far, we've just put them in the two little areas where we've had enough fence to run around, because a lot of islands of trees in here are too big for all the electric fence.
And then how long do you usually keep them on site?
About a week.
Okay.
They're to clear out the invasive species.
They will literally eat anything, yep. Won't they?
Yep. Yeah, they'll eat anything. Most of the land was with grazers, and that's what goats are. They're grazers, and so a lot of these native plants are used to the grazers.
Great.
Thank you. Yeah, my question has to do with the beautiful woods you have out there, and maybe I might have to address it to Jonathan. But the problem we're having with the emerald ash borer, devastating what you told me at Fox River Park. How bad is that going to affect us here?
It's already affected us.
Are you going to have to cut how many trees down? Or?
We just have a small stand of ash trees right over there, but we're basically oak savanna, and with us trying to restore it back to oak savanna, which is mostly oaks and a few other types of trees, which I believe ash. Again, this is going to go with our grant. We're going to get woodlot management, and they're going to tell us, you know, what trees belong here, what trees don't. But with trying to restore it back to oak savanna, it may or may not. But yeah, we're starting to see the signs of the woodpeckers and the tunnels and the ash trees.
Well, Barry, we really appreciate it, and Val. For you having us out here again, and what I really appreciate, and I think everyone must notice how well you folks publicize yourself. I mean, the Kenosha News does carry a lot of things, and that's to your credit. I'm sure they don't just, you know, come and ask you what's going on. And I mean, it's always available, and even if it's just the little sidelines there that talks about the nature walk, or I mean, I constantly pick up on it, so I think you're doing a wonderful job with that. And just seeing the place, how well it looks, it's a very prideful thing for Kenosha County and John's people. So thank you again very much.
Thank you.
And we'll go on to the Kemper Pier. Before John starts on that, I did put on everybody's little pile here a letter that I received today from the Kemper Board. Or the president, so that would be part of the discussion. We've already read that, so John.
Well, since 2011, we switched from asking in the CIP to replace the railings and repaint the steel structure underneath the Kemper Pier. And at that point, we got a few complaints. Well, we've known all along that the railings themselves were basically worn out. They come down every fall in November, and we go back and reinstall them again in usually around in April. The problem with it is everything is set screws and connector blocks. The other thing is that the day the county put the railings on the pier, they were obsolete. It was a discontinued line of railing. Now, you know, I don't know if the county got a deal on them or whatever, but I mean, we were only able to get replacement parts for a few years after the initial installation. So that once that happened, I did have Holland Manufacturing make parts. They were very expensive. For one connector block, it was over $100. And at the rate we were, the kids were shaking the corners loose and dropping them into the lake. We, you know, it, not only that, it's just, it's to the point where I can't tighten it up. So this spring, I knew last fall it was in pretty horrible shape, and I talked with the exec's office and that about it, and I told them I'm not comfortable putting those railings back up. Somebody's going to go through them. So with no replacement parts being available, and we knew this again in 2011 and prior to that, the decision was made to switch from repairing it. We would all, the things that would need to be done right now are new railings, sandblast the steel structure underneath, and paint that, and that's an epoxy paint. And then the area immediately behind the pier, it looks like a big dish. It, thank goodness now that the lake level is down, because if that was back up, that would have taken the sidewalks by now. We did have a huge railroad tie wall across there, and every one of those are gone. And so, I mean, there's basically nothing there. And for whatever reason, the way the pier is shaped when the waves come up, it's almost like the energy is amplified once that water comes underneath that pier. So when we look at the cost of redoing it, we know from probably 5 or 6 year old estimates, maybe older, that the railing replacement was $110,000. To paint the beams underneath, that was $80,000. We're probably looking at probably another $25,000 or $30,000 just to put big enough stone back in on the back side of the pier. So I did also then include in the packet, or no, I handed it out tonight, this email from R.A. Smith dated 2011, which was a CIP budget estimate for removal, and that comes in at $320,600. I would suspect by now that's probably pushing $350,000 or more. So I guess this whole discussion is brought about by the fact that there's so many questions about the pier itself, about which way it's going. I really, you know, at this point in the CIP, it's at removal. Kemper Center themselves don't feel that it adds any real value down there anymore. It no longer serves a purpose as a fishing pier. It's probably more of a spot where folks just go sit and look at the lake. Something could be done if the pier is removed with, once the seawall is put back in place, to put a spot where folks could sit. You know, because there is a new bike path that'll be coming going through there this year. So I guess this is just a point to get it. I'm sure some of you folks, you supervisors, have had questions already about it, why it's closed. And it's just because we're kind of at an impasse here. A decision needs to be made, whether it's made here on this floor or at the county board level. But it, as far as I know now, my direction is to proceed with the CIP with removal.
Any discussion? Where's that?
I got a question, layman. I don't understand. What's riprap
It's big rocks, about like this, that you see the white ones on the shoreline at the harbor?
Yeah.
That's riprap.
So that's what they mean by extra heavy?
Yeah. Yep.
Is there any money left over in the current budget, or do we have to capitalize for this, if we're able to proceed with this project?
Yeah, it'd be bonded in the future.
Have we,
go ahead.
If we only just, when I realize this, you got a little while ago, have we gone out and got any additional bids on the work to have it removed? Because I can.
No, it's just an estimate.
Okay.
I haven't got any other estimates.
Okay,
no.
Thank you.
Original.
So if we removed the pier and did the riprap, it would pretty much look like the rest of the shoreline. It would be moved, all that hollow stuff underneath the ridge would be filled in with riprap.
It looked just like the rest of it, except now, well, even when that's done, there, we are running a bike path past there, and then what we had talked about doing was putting some sort of a, maybe like a cement patio sort of overlook with a few benches there where folks could stop and look out over the lake.
I think that would be much better. And if you could actually fish off of it, I think I might feel differently about it, but you can't. And
you can't reach the water.
You can't reach the water.
You
so
know,
I'm in favor of removing it. I don't know, do you need a motion, or is it just, what are you looking for?
We would probably like that. So, is there any other?
I'll make a motion to go along with removing it and switch the CIP from to removing it.
It is at removing it right now.
Okay.
But coming from this committee, I know that the aldermen have been getting a lot of heat. The county board supervisor Rose, until he was given some knowledge of this, was getting a lot of heat. But with this letter from the Kemper Center, I think it explains a lot.
Yeah.
So
I'll second that motion.
Okay, there's been a motion made for a recommendation from this committee to the county board for the CIP to include costs for removal of the observation deck quasi pier at the Kemper Center. Any discussion?
So the next steps, John, are what for you?
For me, it's already in the CIP. It's just a matter of Mr. Cuthbert just making sure it stays in. I believe it's in for what, 2016? Right now. Because it's been in for 2 years.
Okay, and then proceed with getting some formal bids on it.
And what brought it to a head was that we did not put the railings back up when questions started being asked.
Yeah.
We'll have a formal from this committee then. Supervisor Nuno, you had a question?
How much is the CIP though for this?
It would be what's in here though.
Or
right now it's still, I think we bumped it up to $350,000 for 2016 because.
So if the estimates come in a little bit higher, we're still covered with that?
Yeah. If they come in a little higher, can you cover it?
And they could come in lower.
The way
construction's been. So.
Usually, R.A. Smith is pretty good, and when we update a figure with them, they usually try to leave it a little bit high so that, you know, when you send it out for bids, it'll come in underneath.
Any other discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Through the governor?
Aye.
Okay, so we will put that in the record then. I don't think that really has to go to the county board.
This was just a discussion.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, John. Yep.
But I think
is it the Kemper Center that we're putting in a parking lot? I see they're putting in a big parking lot, or is that for the Anderson Arts Center? I was just there a couple days ago, and they had it all flagged off, and I said, what are you doing? They said, we're putting in a parking lot.
A bike trail.
More bike trail also, but they said
they're
putting
in the bike trails this year. There's sort of a phasing plan to add a little bit onto the big parking lot by the Kemper Center, and then there's just shortly down the road, there's another plan to widen 66th Street for additional parking.
Yeah, that's right there by 56th Street, not the parking lot at Kemper Center. They got a big square area all flagged off, and they told me they're going to pave it. They're going to put a parking lot there. I was told that this week. I was over there looking for the bike trail.
Not on our land.
maybe that's city land by the, the city have the Anderson Arts Center?
No, that's ours.
That's ours. So no, that would be our land. I don't know if they're just going to gravel it or but that's what they told me.
Well, they did some surveying for the bike path, and then all the flags are the utilities, the red and that are run down there.
I know when they go to park there for that jazz fest, with all the water and rain we had, it would just be all mud, and, you know.
The only two people that would know anything about it are sitting here and here.
Yeah, there's no big
park that way. The guy that had the Kemper Center shirt on. Well, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, well, for my report, the first thing was is the Perennial Nature Center had a drive-by shooting or something here. The deputies found BBs on the sidewalk, so whether it was a shotgun or whether it was some kids that got close up with a BB gun and busted it, but it's shattered. The windows ordered, of course, they have to be custom made. So
sure it wasn't a machete?
No, there was BBs out on the front sidewalk. So as soon as that window is done, it'll get installed and we'll be able to take the plywood off. Down at Kemper, the chapel roof is finished. There's a ton of turf damage down there and damage to their brick walkway. And I can't, the turf damage, the contractor's going to take care of that. The damage to the paved walkway, the contractor did everything they could do. They put down plywood and planking, but it's just the ground is so soft with the heavy equipment going over, they've pushed down the paver bricks. Right now we're working out and seeing if we can work something out with the contractor to see if they'll pick up the tab for the pavers or if they'll split it with us or whatever we can do, but hopefully we can get them to bear that cost. At Petrifying Springs, the summer youth crew is back. They've been busy planting trees and shrubs in the park that were donated by the Paul Swartz Nursery. We had a pretty large number of trees die this year for what we think was no apparent reason, other than we figure it was probably the drought last summer. I mean, we had perfectly healthy maples in lawn areas that just didn't leaf out this year. Last fall they looked fine. And I mean, it wasn't just maples. We had a black cherry or two that went out. We've had willow and of course ash, but it's just a random, it's just different species. It wasn't any one certain one. So, but what they did is for all the trees we took out, the youth crew, when they got there, went out and put trees in and back in all those spots. At Katy Park, the summer youth crew is working out there. Really what they're doing right now is recycling and picking up trash. They've already hauled one 20-yard dumpster of iron out of there. It's all scrap iron. It's everything from truck wheels to old machine parts, idler wheels for bulldozers to, you know, twisted up dump truck boxes. I mean, it's just all the stuff that you'd expect to find from a business that's been in operation for 50 years. There's still a lot more to do. We did haul one large dumpster of trash out of there as well. The PVC pipe, we're working on recycling it because there's more there than I could ever use in the Parks Department in another 50 years. So right now we're still working as well with ConservFS. They want that fuel tanker trailer there, and in exchange we'll remove the 10,000 gallon fuel barrel and the two old fuel trucks that aren't fit for the road anymore. I doubt what they even run. They're basically scrap. I guess in exchange they'll give the highway department a new fuel tank and a pump that could be used either at the Wilmot pit or out at the salt shed, I-94 and 158. We're not sure where that's going to go yet. But the thing that's the biggest benefit to the county of this whole deal is getting that 10,000 gallon diesel tank out of there that we will never have a use for and will end up costing us in the long run to remove. The not last weekend, the weekend before, we had the Revolutionary War reenactment, and I know two supervisors were there, Mr. Overman and Dodge. It wasn't, I don't think it was as heavily attended as the year before, but the Boy Scouts, for whatever reason, made more money selling food, so that's how we gauge our attendance on how much food is sold. And they did quite a bit better than they did the year before. Everything went good. Again, it wasn't a large crowd. People just came and went all day long. And it's a nice event. We are planning another one next year. Coming up this weekend on July 7th is the Make-A-Wish Foundation car show at Petrifying Springs Park. And that car show continues to get larger and larger each year we host it. I think we're in our fourth year of it now. I looked at the weather forecast. It looks pretty good. So if you're out that way, stop by. We have had a problem with swimmer's itch at Silver Lake Beach for the last 3 weeks. It's starting to disappear. We did have the park posted. We do put out a garden hose to rinse. The thing you need to do when you come out of the water when it's present is either towel off right away or rinse off. If it dries on you, that's when the parasite seems to burrow into you. But I haven't heard any cases of it from this last weekend, so I think we're past that. The other thing was we did close Old Settlers Beach last Wednesday because of the E. coli count, but it could have been, we resampled immediately and it was the next day and it was fine. But sometimes when those guys walk out there, if they stir up the bottom to take the sample and get that in it, it does that. So I think that's about all I have.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, a couple of things. Supervisor Kubicki talked to me about one of his constituents filed a complaint with him about the closing of the road in Petrified Springs. I told him it's my understanding that it's cost prohibitive to keep that road open. However, I walked that road yesterday or the day before, and one thing I think you'll have to take, I suggest you look at is where the golf carts go across is especially bad. There's some potholes right there. If you don't do anything else, maybe, I don't know which one you have to talk to, but that area should be fixed up, if nothing else. Yeah. And I wanted to tell you about the complaint about the road.
We have cold patch. We can open it.
The road is, there's no way we're fixing it.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
There's no way we're fixing it.
But we should fix that where the golf carts cross. It's real bad right there.
There's some really bad spots in our parking lot, too, that I was going to have to fix.
Okay, and the second issue was when we bought that property out by Katy Park, we were told there was a lot of value in the blacktop and the concrete. When are we scheduled to get our money's worth out of that?
Right now, based on the relocation of Highway F in 2016, I believe, that's probably where that blacktop and concrete will be pulverized and used in the building of that roadway.
Thank you.
So that's where the savings to the county will come.
Yes.
John, what was the name of the company that's helping salvage the aluminum steel?
We're doing that ourselves.
But you mentioned a company that's going to haul off the 10,000 gallon tank?
Oh, Conserve FS.
And so
they're a fuel tank. They are an agricultural based business, but they also sell fuel to farmers and the tanks and everything.
And so kind of in exchange, kind of a barter.
Yeah.
You take this,
yes, it is.
And you said mentioned a pump. Is it a fuel pump you meant? Okay. That'll be
a tank and a pump.
Okay.
And above ground for the highway division.
Who's doing this cleanup is the at risk youth groups that we have working at the park. They're the ones with one of our parks people watching them, and then they also have people they send out. They are loading the dumpsters and they're doing.
And so that dumpster, 20 yard, I think you mentioned, scrap steel.
The is all scrap steel.
Do we get some value out of that?
Yeah,
we should.
What was the check? $1,500
Okay.
For the dumpster of steel.
You get to reinvest that into your cleanup? Or does Jim just keep that?
Jim gets that. I never see it again.
It's not.
All right, I just, it'd be a good way to reuse it to put it back in the park, you know, and keep that effort up, because it's well worth it. Thank you.
Well, we'll move on to golf. Mr. Barry?
I handed out tonight our Browns report, and unfortunately, June was not a good month. On the back, it does show why. There's the rain that we've had for an average for the last 4 years. That's on the very right-hand side. The totals that we've had, you know, we had 5 inches, almost 5 inches last year. This year we've had over 15 inches. So it's 35% over the average in the amount of rain. But the rounds report does show that we're 4,000 rounds down in each course for a total of 8,135 rounds. And I wish I had better news. We're trying everything we can to promote, bring new players. So that's the rounds and prep and report there. But the food and beverage staff is doing tremendous. Last Friday night we set a new record for the fish fries at Petrified Springs. We sold 93 fish fries. That doesn't include all the burgers and chicken sandwiches and everything else that we sell during that time per frame. But the last record was 80, and so we did 93. So we're up to 1,035 fish fries for both facilities so far this year, which is a great news. We still served about 150 last Friday. Calendar of events is on the website. We got a big, busy July coming up. We have the Kenosha County Open, the 12th, 13th, and 14th. Very excited about that. Friday it's going to be on the Blue Spruce. Saturday it's going to be at Petrified Springs. And Sunday it's going to be on the White Birch. So we've reduced some of the rates, took the mandatory cart out of there. We did make it straight tee times. We did give a discount to some of the pass holders so that hopefully we can build that Kenosha County Open back up again. That was really one thing that we were driving for. We also have the Ladies County Open at Petrified Springs on the 20th. And we also have the Junior County Open starting July 8th, and that's a 4-day tournament. So a lot of good golf there, tournament golf. I did skip over that our database now for all of our email blasts is about 9,500. So that's building. Plus, I'm emailing you guys, the county board, and all of the users for the county. So it's well over 10,000 people now that get our emails. We are going to have a Kids Play Free initiative. It's going to be starting July 8th. It's from 1 to 3, Mondays through Thursdays at both golf facilities, and after 3 o'clock on Sundays. With every paid adult, one child can play for free. So, we're just talking to Green Fee, so, you know, hopefully they come out and they rent carts and have some food and beverage and have some fun, and we build a golfer base by having the free kids. And also, our junior program is going tremendously. We have 55 currently Wednesdays and Thursday nights at Petrified Springs. We have about 35 at Brightdale, and then we have another golf camp coming up at the end of July with the campers, Recplex, and that's going to be another 20 or so. So we're really doing well with the junior golf programs. We're also having clinics on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And so again, it's our initiative is to build the amount of golfers in the area, not just for our facilities, but for all the facilities. Also I'd like to address the air conditioning. The air conditioning is out. We're opening doors and windows it was just bad timing, I guess. We did go out for bid on it, and Eckert Refrigeration Inc. Won the bid from Kenosha. So they're doing the work. They're prepping all the piping right now. The air conditioners are 25-ton units, and they're not stocked, so they were not readily available. They are ordered. They are being built, and we're hoping to get them around July 19th, and we're hoping that by the 26th of July, we'll have air conditioning up and running in the clubhouse at that right now. So that's the golf course.
Rick?
I'm not a golfer. I'm not too familiar with golf. Sometime I'd like to be able to go through our courses with you and take a look at it. But what I'd like to mention is that I was talking to one of the owners of one of the golf courses in the area. He was telling me that they've got girls that go around and sell beer on the golf course, and they got a little handheld device that they slide the credit cards on. He said, best thing they ever did. They're selling beer out there like crazy because they can put it on a corporate credit card. Do we have any, do we sell beer on our golf course? Do we have anything like that?
We do have the cards that go around most of the time. We take credit cards and run ads for people, and then when they get done, we'll settle up in the clubhouse with them.
Okay.
That works just as well as maybe not every transaction, maybe not every person is as happy with that because, they just want to have that, quick sale.
Yeah.
But if they run tabs, if it's a corporation type of deal, usually that's how it's taken care of.
Yeah, I'll get with you about maybe someday.
That'd be great.
David?
The reason why we're down at the golf, just because of the weather, or do you think there are other reasons?
Oh, it's definitely because of the weather. There's no question. I mean, you can see that in March alone, we're down 3,700 rounds, and we didn't even get open yet. And then you add April, which is another $2,000. That's almost 6,000 rounds in those first 2 months. And then if May was no, picnic to play either, so, and even June, just so many days of rain. We've had 5 inches of rain in June, over 5 inches of rain in June compared to 0.4 inches last year.
We had 15 days of precipitation in June out of the 30. We weren't open for a month and a half when we were open.
That's
last
year.
That's why we're down 8,000 rounds.
Right.
There's no devious reason. It's the weather.
Yeah. Yeah. And my other question is, it would be a complete guess. If the weather is going to be good from now on, do you think that it's still a chance that we can catch up on that? Or is that too late?
Last year was a tremendous season. It was a very, very good year all the way through. We have the ability now. It's a lot easier for our facilities to put water onto our golf courses than take it off. We have very poor drainage, but we have very good irrigation. And, it's not even the weather the rain that's so bad. It's the forecast. When it's forecasted to be showers, even if it doesn't, it slows us way down. We had a very poor October last year. So I have high hopes, that we can pick up maybe $100,000 in October if we have a really good October. But other than that, we were pretty maxed out July, August. September, there's possibility for some room of growth, but October will be our biggest area to take advantage of.
Thanks, Sam. Mike?
And obviously things slowing down, and we've been able to control our expenses a little bit to try and offset that, so it's not a complete uphill battle, or what, our expenses flat, and they are what they are.
We have sent people home. We have taken advantage of the rain days and not had the payroll, so our payroll is a great deal down. The other expenses are so dependent on when the invoices are processed and how we are doing better than last year on expenses, but we do have a certain amount of fixed expenses too that it's tough to get around. So.
And the other one was, did the equipment yard get repaved, right?
Yes.
How's that working out?
Oh, great.
Okay.
It's absolutely fantastic. When it's dry enough to get out on the golf machinery, we can go any direction. It looks great, and I think it's also built on morale of our maintenance crew too, just because they know that we're investing back in their work areas. So,
thank you.
Rick, one more question. Next year, our debt service is paid off?
No. 2015. We have to pay in 15 yet.
But we're not out of the woods yet, okay.
Okay, motion adjourned.
Motion adjourned.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned. Barry, again, thank you very much.
You're the one, Mike.
Thank you, Scott.
What do you think? Send anybody, will anybody be out?